Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Fire on the Earth. I want to complete what I've been doing the last couple of days here, looking at that beautiful hymn from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians chapter 2, talking about the glory and majesty of Jesus, the humility of Jesus on the one hand. You know, Jesus was the first to make humility a virtue. The world never, prior to that, the pagan world never saw humility as a virtue. And the saints talk about it as the queen of the virtues for us, right? Why? Because we're imitating Jesus. And this passage talks about every one of us is called, whether we're rich, poor, highly educated, illiterate, everything in between. Everyone who is baptized into Christ is called to having the same mind, Paul said. And the mind is the mind of Christ. And the mind is rooted in humility. Paul says, do not count yourself better than others, but instead humble yourself. Why? Because Jesus humbled himself. He showed us something about the nature of God and the nature of what God values. God loves what is humble, and it's a law, friends, that the humble are exalted and the proud are humbled. That's where things are going. Remember Mary's beautiful hymn? After she receives the message from the angel, from Gabriel, she said, the mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And she'll talk about how the humble are brought down. It's time to rejoice that what God is showing is a whole different set of scales and calculus than what operates in this world. I mean, the world is preoccupied still to this day with the same old stuff, money, sex, power, influence, and the human drive to set ourselves apart, to be at the top, to be first, to be ahead of everybody, to be considered better than everybody, more special, more privileged, recognized, honored, all that stuff. It's so deeply in fallen human nature. Of course, we see it radically revealed, the opposite radically revealed in the lives of the saints. But there's a deep resistance to this reality of Jesus, that he humbled himself and took on the form of a servant. And humility is expressed through obedience, through radical obedience and trust to God. So for the disciple, the shift happens interiorly. My main daily drive is not to get ahead or to be the first and recognized as the winner, so to speak. The thing that matters most every day is that I'm obedient. I'm obedient to the will of God. That's the gold. That's the authenticity. That's living with integrity and being who it is I was made to be. Jesus reveals to us, the recent popes, John Paul especially, talked about man's a mystery to himself. Man's incapable of understanding himself apart from Christ. Christ fully reveals to us who we are. Pride and envy and jealousy, these things that come are second nature to us. It's what drives us. And Jesus has come to break that power. And he showed us through how he lived. He said, no, you were made for something different. Your fulfillment, your happiness, the joy and completeness that you seek, and really the glory that you seek, is meant to be given to you as a gift, but it can only be received in humility. And what's clear is that Paul said that Jesus chose it. He decided. He stepped down. It's not a feeling. And he commands us to do the same. He says, humble yourself. Become a servant. Don't put yourself ahead of others. Look not only to your own interests, Paul says, but look to the interests of others. Acknowledge when you've done something wrong. Humble yourself. Serve people. Serve the poor. Help the poor understand and see that you're no better than they are. You know, that all of us have dignity in one place, and that's God. Our possessions, our clothing, our education, our cars, what we have might separate us from the poor. But that's all, that's a fantasy land. It's not real. It's a kind of mirage, really, right? It's a mask. All of us, like St. Francis used to say, I am who I am before God and nothing more. Nothing more. And so he begged God. He said, God, Father, show me who am I? Who are you and who am I? And teach me to be rightly ordered to you and to be obedient to you and love you. Friends, let that be your great ambition. Let that be your passion. We have to help each other think this way. That's why Paul's exhorting the whole community to think that way. Because there's great resistance to what Paul's talking about here, about Jesus' way in the human heart, in the world. And the world resists Jesus' kingship that's expressed here in Philippians 2. The reality that every knee is going to bow and every tongue will confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus is Lord. That's a fact. That's going to happen. But the world resisted. There's a beautiful psalm, Psalm 2, which David, in his own time, of course, writing about his own being the anointed king and trying to serve the Lord, talking about the resistance that comes against God all the time. And of course, this is a messianic psalm, pointing ultimately toward Christ. And you get a sense here of the nature of the battle. And friends, we are living in this. There's a radical rage. And in some ways, possibly, at least in our lifetime, at a level of it that's being unleashed in our time, a rage against God and God's rule and God's reign that we've never seen before quite like this. I'll read Psalm 2. It says, why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed. Man, did I feel that when I was in China. And I've been to China a bunch of times. And I'm just sitting in this massive nation, 1.3 billion people. And the political forces of the country continue to ratchet up and get more aggressive against the Lord and against his anointed. God is not Lord that we humbly acknowledge and lovingly confess and bend our knee. God's our adversary. God's the enemy. Now, in Europe, in what was Christian Europe at one time, how much indifference there is to God. And underneath that indifference, the falling of the way of the faith, friends, there's hostility to God. It's getting caught up in this very thing that David's talking about here in the psalm. And he said, here's what people say in their hearts. Verse 3, let us burst their bonds asunder and cast their cords from us. Paul's saying, you know, God and God's anointed. Let's say God's anointed, one of God's anointed on the earth is the Pope, for example, right? The world, we don't want to listen to the church because the church binds us, and limits our freedom, and so does God. Let's be free and declare, like Christopher Hitchens said, that God is not great. There is no God. There is no great God in heaven. We're the center of the story. That's the temptation. That is diabolic. It's satanic. It's totally enslaving and destructive. Friends, it's an absolute lie. But that rage is rising against the church more and more, and it's showing its face all over. And guess what's happening? The church is being forced to bend its knee to the world and not to Christ. Of course, the church doesn't have to do it, but pressure's coming in upon the church to conform to the will of men. And behind the fallen will of men is the will of Satan himself. For the church to get on board with the sexual revolution and everything that's in it, get on board with the values of this world, get on board with all the identity creation that's happening, you get on board and you acknowledge it, or we're going to put the hurt on you. That's the world. It's coming after the church. It's very much emboldened right now. The devil somehow, in the plan of God, is permitting it. In this time in human history, the devil's going for the jugular. He's going after the whole enchilada. He's going after the destruction of human anthropology, human identity, and the family. God's imaging, God's created image in the human race, and it reflects God. The devil's trying to destroy all that. This image of God that's in us, male and female, together we image God. He's deconstructing, he's tearing it apart. And he's saying it doesn't matter. And the world is saying, look, we can't be happy, we can't be free, we can't be authentic if we don't have the freedom to decide for ourselves what ought to be valued and crowned in this world. And what's being crowned is our idols and lies, which is leading people to great bondage. And the church is meant to be prophetic and alive and moving and living a different way of life and not conforming to the world. It's insanity. It's this very battle. But look what God does. Verse 4, he who sits in the heavens laughs. He laughs at the insanity. He knows, he searches the earth. Anyone on the earth who says there is no God is a fool. I don't care if he's the richest man on the planet. I don't care if he's built the biggest business and has the biggest bank account the world's ever seen. That's nothing. The devil can give that to anybody he wants. I'm not saying he's giving it to particular people, but he tempted Jesus with it in the desert. It's all going to pass away. It's nothing. It's nothing. And we worship it. God sits in the heavens and laughs, you fools. The Lord, it says, has them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath. He will terrify them in his fury. And friends, it is healthy. It is totally healthy to feel the fear of God in your bones. If you don't, beg God for it, because you're going to live like a fool if you don't have it. Here's what God's going to say. I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Who has God set on his holy throne? Who has God set on the kingdom of Zion? He set David there, but David is the foreshadowing of the beloved son, the one to whom every knee will bow and every tongue confess. It's Jesus. Verse 8, ask me, he says to Jesus, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with the rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and with trembling kiss his feet, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath is quickly kindled. But blessed are those who take refuge in him. That's a prophetic psalm for our time. This is a word that needs to go to the nations. Priests who are listening, preach this word. Preach it to your people. You know, if you have politicians and leaders in your congregation, let them hear this. This is absolutely crucial. Bishops, please preach this. You know in your bones the rage of the enemy is rising against the king and the kingship of Jesus. And that's why the church is being humiliated and persecuted. That's why the Lord is allowing it to be purified. He wants the gold. He wants the church to get purified through suffering till we get to the gold of the church so it can shine for the salvation of the world. The Lord's waiting for the gold to stand up and live and be heard. And the opposite seems to be happening. Jeremiah chapter 9. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, or the mighty man glory in his might, nor the rich man glory in his riches. Let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practice steadfast love, justice, and righteousness. What God loves is a humble heart, the heart of his son Jesus who bowed before the Father. Friends, that's the meaning of life. That's the road to human freedom and fulfillment. Get on that road, live on that road, and let's go with the Lord now in this moment, living the life he's anointed us to live. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.